Hello and welcome to Two Blokes Trading. Join us, the two blokes, Philip and Petter, as we dive deep into the complex world of financial markets and home trading. Today's episode is sponsored by BizIntra Financial Academy. BizIntra offers sponsored trading programs that have been developed by professional traders. Don't pay a fortune to learn how to trade. Simply sign up by using one of their partner brokers and receive trading education and signals by institutional traders. Make sure you log on to www.bizintra.com/two blokes for everything related to the markets. You won't be disappointed. Good afternoon or good evening, everybody. My name is Philip, and welcome to today's episode of Two Blokes Trading. I'm your host, Philip Hennigan, and I'm here with my co-host, P-Man. Say hello, P-Man.
What's up, everyone?
God, that was such a cheesy intro I did. I just did Hinton. Who cares? Well, not anything who cares, but, you know, just wanted to kind of do a bit of the intro and try and be, you know, have my radio voice on.
Well,
but it's not really very good.
At least it didn't sound that generic, Philip.
Yeah.
Ha ha.
True. How have you been, anyway, Petter?
You know, this. I'm awful, to be honest. I'm sick. I'm sick these couple of last days. So I'm going to try to get through this podcast as easily as possible. So I'm sorry if I'm not way up there in the. In the enthusiasm stage, because I have a bucket beside me here, so if I have to puke, then
that's... Don't lie, it means you have to do a run for number two.
Oh, yeah, so that's the way it
is. He's vomiting from the bottom, is he?
I'm not sure. I ate some really funky street food the other day, so maybe I've gotten something.
Some infection in your stomach, I guess.
Big infection. Yeah, so that's how I am, Philip. How about you?
All good. Flat out at work and very interesting times in the markets. So let's get stuck into it. On the economic side, let me see. I'm not all ready yet, but I will be in 2 seconds. Filtered results. What's going on? Let's see, obviously today we're recording Tuesday the 16th of July. It is currently 6:37 in the evening. So disregard any news that's come out today. Is there anything that interests me that came out today? Obviously this ZOO survey out of Germany at 9 a.m. this morning was quite negative. Apart from that, there's nothing that really interested me today. Nothing I would have been interested in watching, if I'm being really honest with you. Maybe Fed Pell speech, but that's about it. But let's get started with for tomorrow, Wednesday, July 17th, consumer price index out of year over year out of the UK at 8:30 a.m. may cause a bit of volatility, but probably not. The consensus estimates are for 2%, previous estimates for 2%. So if we miss earnings or it's a beat, then it'll create volatility. Otherwise, nothing will happen, I don't think. Then BOC, which is Bank of Canada, Consumer Price Index, also core year over year. Expecting a bit of growth in that number from the previous reading. So it should be interesting because if they miss, it could cause volatility again. So tomorrow, imagine if you just cross Sterling CAD, for instance. That could be a tricky one, seeing as news is coming out of Sterling and news is coming out of Canadian dollar. So I'm not saying take the trade. I'm not saying there's a setup there. But I'm just highlighting that for shits and giggles. Thursday, July 18th, unemployment change out of Aussie and the unemployment rate out of Aussie. Of course, keep a close eye on Aussie currency crosses and also indices. Friday, July 19th, retail sales out of Canada. And then we have consumer sentiment out of the United States, which I believe is going to be very important at the moment because so far, everyone focuses on business aspects. So everyone focuses on ISM for manufacturing, ISM for non-manufacturing, any other leading indicators to the financial markets. But we're focusing then on business side of things. In this case, we want to see how the consumer feels. So Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index, probably the most important news announcement coming out this week, and everything is all about America at the moment, so that's all I really care about. America and Europe, America, well, you could say America, Europe, and China, but that's the world then, isn't it? Because they're the three biggest economies. But, yeah, so 1400 GMT, so 2 o'clock GMT, you will see UMCSI come out of the United States. And if that's really negative, they're expecting actually more positivity than the previous reading, 98.2 previously, 98.6 is what they're expecting in this reading. Generally, a reading below 80 is... like 80 is kind of like the neckline. I know I've mentioned before on ISM manufacturing that 50 is the neckline on before we go into contraction. When we start getting down to the 80s and low 80s and even at 80 itself, we know things are, there's a problem. When we start breaking below 70, we're in real recession territory. So keep a close eye on how the consumer feels. That's an important indicator. And that's all the news that's coming out this week. And that's pretty much all you guys need to focus on. So let's discuss something else. What about Petter? What have you got on at the moment? Any trades? Anything that's looking good this week?
You know, I don't know if the market knew that I was going to get sick this week because I have basically zero things on my watch list. Nothing popped up on the radar on Sunday. And I feel that the market is a bit of an indecisive situation right now, especially... when coming to my strategies, and most of the big runs has already happened. And if I were to get it on them on my strategy, it should have been at the start of the month. Basically, this July has just been, I've been slaughtered. Slaughtered, yeah, this month in the market. So I'm currently running.
You mean like you've taken some losses or?
Yes. So far, July has not been that great for my strategy. So I'm currently running at 0.5 of a loss, I think. So nothing crazy, but definitely is something that I'm not used to. But like, it's just the way it is. It's random probability, and some months you occur drawdowns that are bigger than usual. So it's just part of the game.
I love the way you say I'm being slaughtered. You're down 0.5%. I mean, oh my god.
Well, so yeah, and so basically I have nothing on watch this week, Philip, so it's pretty dry, to be honest, which is probably good seeing that you are coming over tomorrow. We're probably gonna go out on the piss, I guess, and
yep,
get mad hungover.
It's possible. Yeah, so everyone listening, I'm gonna be in Norway tomorrow, so that's what's gonna be happening.
How about you? Are you having any interesting things on your that you're eyeballing?
Eyeballing. I'm always looking at bonds. I was interested seeing Eurobonds pulling back. As everyone knows, I've been bashing on for months now on the podcast to people get long bonds. Eurobonds pulling back. I would love a deeper retrace in Eurobonds just to get long bonds on the euro side. Yields in the United States, I've been screaming to everyone I want to see yields rise just a bit higher before I start adding to shorts on bonds, ETFs if possible, TLT maybe, which are the longer duration bonds in the United States above 20-year treasuries. So yeah, that interests me. Right now, TLT is kind of at a level that it looks very attractive, but the yield on the 10-year isn't. So. And I always focus on the 10-year yield. And when I focus on yield curves itself, it's always 2s, 10s, or 2.5s is what I'm interested in. Other than that, on bond side, let me just have a quick look. No, nothing there. Nothing else interests me. The only bonds I'm interested in is European and US bonds. Commodities, no interest, none whatsoever. Nothing that interests me. As I've stated before, the huge rise in gold. I think I mentioned this about 5 or 6 weeks ago. I said the huge rise in gold and silver didn't do much. So that was kind of interesting to me. Other than that, the crypto market has taken an absolute beating today. I could see further downside in Bitcoin. You know, God knows where it's going to find a floor. Worst case scenario, it goes all the way down to 5,800 God, I don't even know if you would call that a kind of a support zone, but I don't really have support or resistance drawn much up on this. But Yeah, it'll be an interesting one to watch. It's not for the faint-hearted. Anyone who day trades Bitcoin or day trades cryptocurrencies, probably going to get wiped out. So it's not an easy market to trade. And please don't focus on people on TradingView with their opinions on where it's going, because nobody knows if it's going to 50 million or if it's going to zero. Just nobody knows. So, don't listen to those retards, to be honest with you. And I'm sorry if there's any retards listening. Anyway, moving on. Apart from that, dollar index, obviously on a tear, but still at these levels, I really need to see the dollar break a good bit higher before I consider anything. It's been so range bound, and I don't mean necessarily range bound between two particular levels, but just doing very little, the dollar. Now, the people might be saying, but it's moved like 40 pips or this sort of stuff. That's nothing. It's not doing anything. I'm looking for consistent, lovely, longer term trends. This isn't really doing much for me. I want to see some nice breakthroughs. I want to see euro dollar break down further. Because look, I'm eyeballing one spot. And I know everyone said recently I was long euro dollar. Yeah, I did get long and I got out before I got stopped out, put it that way. For like a 0.5% of a profit, it was ridiculous. But on the downside, if dollar does break higher, you can see euro dollar down at 108.50 for the next support kind of area, in my opinion. That's kind of where I would see it going. Nothing for me right now. Also interests me is I've been saying it for a while, staring at that overextended run on euro sterling. And what's great is I want to buy a car. And I don't want to buy in euros. I want to buy in sterling at the moment I don't want to buy in euros. I want to buy from the UK because it's very good value at the moment. And I can buy a nicer car cheaper in the UK. So right now, the exchange rate for me is excellent. I like euro sterling up here for the foreseeable future, hopefully. And it doesn't sell off before I buy a car. Indices, it's incredible to see the S&P 500 at 3,000. I think, when the S&P 500 back in December 2018, Petter and I, Petter was on his first podcast with myself, and maybe it was the 1st of January, but I think it was in around that time, we said this market was going to head higher. It may have pullbacks, but it was going to head higher. Now we're at 3,000. So this melt up is starting to look like it's taking off. It took off, basically. If it can head higher, again, nobody knows. This is such an interesting market. We're at unknown territory. Fundamentally, there is a lot of problems in the world. The debt ceiling is ridiculous. I could go on and on about it. But S&P 500 at 3,000, and bonds rallying. This is a scary territory. So. Other than that, let me have a look. I don't even want to talk about oil. And actually, stock specific, Tesla, $252 a share. On a technical aspect, it's a 38% retrace of the previous swing low to high. It looks like if you are going to try and look, and it's way overbought on a daily time frame. I'm not saying there's a trade set up there or anything, or take the position. I'm just saying what I see at the moment. If the market heads higher, Tesla obviously came out today and lowered the price of some of their cars, so that was positive for the stock. They also had a manufacturing beat recently, which has also helped drive it up. I know a lot of people got into that trade short. I think it was Anton who bought $230 puts. So this is his position's gone against him at the moment. But other than that, nothing else really interesting me in the financial markets as trade wise. Positions, all I'm looking for is again, like I say to everyone, I don't take trades all the time, like not very often. I look for just those ones where money is just staring at me in the face, and I'm happy with those trades. I could take maybe 15 trades a year and I'm happy with that. You know, that's the way I roll, I guess you could say. And that's it. That's all I'm looking at. But why am I speaking for so long and you're so quiet?
That's because I'm sick, Philip, right now. I think it's I think it's very interesting to listen to the fundamental specialist talk for sure. And yeah, it's just a breath of fresh air when the technical markets, at least for me, are so bad.
Yep, that's cool. One thing I did want to actually discuss was there's a few things. Just looking at guys in the Slack group. Some guys having some poor returns, and you know, it's not my style of trading, really short term. But so the way Petter trades is very technical, and he has his way of trading. But I'll always ask the question to someone, you know, why did you take, let's say you went long dollar CAD. So I'd ask, well, why do you want to buy dollars and sell Canadian dollars? So these are things that I ask myself. So I'd ask people. So if you know, in Petter's case, you know, he would say technical reasons, I bought at this level, I bought that. So maybe I need to start asking those types of questions on the actual Slack group to people, just to maybe get a good idea of what they were thinking. Maybe it's a good exercise for people who are getting stopped out of trades. Write down what exactly you were feeling at the time you saw the trade. I think that might be an important exercise.
Yeah, definitely. And I also see a lot of people like they have technical reasons for entering a trade, but after a trade is launched and everything is live, the plan, basically there is no plan. Mm. There is no plan for every act that how they are gonna manage the trade. And those things are just very, very crucial things, because after the trigger is pulled, like, emotions start running wild, and also you can get a bit trigger happy.
Mm-hmm.
So either you close the trade too early, or
well, yeah. Another thing I wanted to mention was we had a question from Andy on the Slack group. And let me just cover this. The second paragraph to the question that I think interests me. I've often wondered about Dan's question, as expected returns is pretty much never discussed on trading education sites, which means you're left wondering what return you should think is good or even achievable. So that's the part of that whole question really that only resonated with me. Here's the thing. The way day trading works, right, is way higher risk than how professional traders trade. And I'm not a professional trader because I don't manage other people's money. A professional trader is a hedge fund manager or somebody who manages client money at an investment bank. So they manage risk like you wouldn't believe. It's I've been in the rooms with the fund managers. I was only there recently in the FX hedging department, and I saw some ridiculous positions put on. But the amount of fund managers contacting us to create hedges for them is ridiculous. Like, they're hedging the whole time because they're managing other people's money, and their losses are very small. Like, they're not that they're small losses, but I mean their losses in percentage terms aren't that great, you know. But their gains aren't ridiculous either because they're so hedged. So they save so much insurance, basically, we're saying. So the way a day trader works is it's actually more risky percentage terms of your overall account than what a professional trader would do it. But if you did 25%, we'll say, a year in Wall Street, they would measure it on how you manage risk and what volatility was allowed on the portfolio, current volatility in the market, all these sort of things. And you did 25%, they'd be like, you're a god. Everyone want to throw money at you. But that, you know, a day trader can do, like, there's very, you know, good day traders out there who've done 100% a year. It's doable. But when a question is like, what is good, or, you know, if you can break even at the end, if you first year's trading and you break even and you've taken several trades, and I'm talking you've been trading consistently in and out, and you broke even, or if you were down at a very like 2% or something, I would give yourself a pat on the back and say, that's better than most people have done, and you're still in the game, you know? Or even if you had a bit of a loss and you're still trying, but you haven't completely blown your account, you know, you're winning some, you're losing some. You can start finding the problems in how you're selecting trades and maybe where you're taking profit and your expectations. Could I have taken more? Could this have ran a bit further? How was I feeling by taking a journal? How did I feel at the time of taking profit? How did I feel at the time of placing a trade? Did I stick to my rules on the trade and take profit when I said I was going to take profit, or did I cut it early? All these sort of things. That's why journaling is so important at first, because you don't have the emotional mindset. You're like a kid in a candy shop. You know, you just see that money, and when you're in profit, and you just feel like taking it there and then, because it gives you the feeling of you got it right. I see profit nowadays, I don't care. I just see it as, you know, I don't go on getting the trade right. I just go, you know, I size this position up. It's doing exactly what I expect it to do, and this is where I want to get out. If I see a signal that makes me want to get bearish, then I'll take profit. That's the thought process I have. I don't need to really journal anymore because I just don't think like that anymore. But if someone said to me I'm a day trader and I did 30% last year, I'd say fair play to you. That was a really good year, because you're beating so many people in the world at trading. You're doing so well because so many people can't they blow up. They can't do this business because it's so difficult emotionally. So
I totally agree, Philip. Like, just getting to the path of consistency is just a win by itself, because as Philip said, the majority of people have blown their accounts by then. So just getting there to the consistency part, breaking even, like you're 85% there. So basically things that needs to be done after that, just little twerks and finding out where you're going wrong. And it's really eye-opening when you see how little it has to take when you're breaking even to get into the profitable stages.
Yeah. Also, one other thing before we wrap up as well is, don't be fooled or, you know, don't get wrapped up in you seeing some guy on Twitter or some guy on Instagram who does 100, who turned 300 quid into 10,000 in a week. Just follow my signals and all this sort of stuff, and you can make, forget it. You know what I mean? Don't listen to these people. They're idiots, and they're not out there to, you know, they're not out there to make you money. They're to take your money. So, and they aren't, they like 100% return in one day means, you know, you're taking massive risk. You can't be that right all the time. It's just not possible. I don't care what anyone says. It's a lottery. You may, you know, and what happens is, the worst thing that can happen is it works first time. Then the second time you'll try and you'll lever up and put even more money down, and then you'll get wiped out. So don't be fooled, or don't pay any attention to what anyone else is doing. Just master what works best for you. If technical analysis is something that you find easier to understand than fundamental analysis, just know the basics of fundamental analysis. Inflation, deflation, interest rates, what happens when they pull the interest rates lower? How does that affect currency? How does it affect the stock market? These are very basic things to do with fundamental analysis. You don't need to go too deep with it. And then just master technical analysis and just keep practicing. And when you start keeping a diary of your emotions and how your trades were placed and how you felt at the time and how your profit is and a journal, you'll start making progress. How about that?
I think that's a wrap. That was a very, very good synopsis of how to get to the profitable stages of your trading career. Thank you very much, Philip.
Yes.
Well, I guess that's a wrap for today. I just have to say, guys, I'm sorry that I'm not that perky this podcast.
Because he's got terrible diarrhea.
As I said before. Yeah. Okay, let's just leave it at that. So thank you, Philip, for letting me tag along on this podcast. I very much appreciate it, and I will have a beer waiting for you when you land tomorrow.
A lovely boy.
And for everybody everybody who who's listening to us now, thank you very much. I guess I will see you next week. Hopefully a bit better than this week.
See you later, everyone. Bye-bye.